Welcome to episode 13 of the Putting Couch, presented by the Seymour Putter Company and Seymour's Tour Team. I'm Jim Grunberg, and I'm here with Cody Hale and Ted Galina. We appreciate having you here. This is our 13th episode already, guys, and I think it's gone. they've gone fast, huh?
Been good. I've enjoyed doing this and listening to the feedback from everybody. We've had some good topics and guests.
We really do. We've got about 1,000 listeners already, which is fantastic. And we hope that any of you out there that are listening, forward this on to your friends. You ask our credentials. Well, hey, we're not going to be too full of ourselves, but this is all we do is putters. And this is the first website and the first podcast, I should say, dedicated exclusively to all things putting. And the way it's going to shake out, really, if you go back, we've got 12 episodes already from an introduction all the way through. And if you're trying to kind of get your arms around where we're going with this, I would say we sort of have four tracks that I laid out. We have number one is sort of company product talk. Company product talk, trends, myths, observations from our global fitting studios and our tour team. And that's myself, Ted and Cody, and that's what we're going to do today. The second one will be sort of putting instruction and theories based on our global teaching ambassador, Pat O'Brien. We knocked off the first one a few episodes ago about the grip. And from there, these are great discussions, really get you into really the nuts and bolts of some putting instruction that people will find very, very informative. The third is the mental side of golf and specifically putting. We found these to be fascinating. We've had Dr. Bob Winters of the Ledbetter Academy on as our regular guest. He has a PhD in sports psychology from the University of Virginia. He's studied under many of the greats, and right now he is really one of the renowned sports performance improvement psychologists in all of sports. So we've loved having him on. And then probably the fourth track are our real world stories that we've had from the front lines. And those are fun for us. I mean, we talked to Damon Green about, you know, his time with Zach Johnson and just some really, really cool insights on the 2007 Masters. We've talked to Mike Hicks. Yeah, Hicksy. And anyway,
Stephen Tiley. Cool insight into a win.
Yep. Stephen Tiley, who won on the Challenge Tour. And, you know, who knows? Maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll be able to get our new friend Hayden Buckley on. We just heard about this story a couple of weeks ago. Hayden Buckley playing on the Canadian Tour went and bought a Seymour putter out of a golf town store up there in Canada and has been on a tear the last 4 weeks, culminating with a win yesterday on the Canadian Tour, which puts him probably one step closer to achieving his dreams as a professional golfer. And so we'll try to make it pretty obvious when you go and do a search which one of those tracks it's going to be. So today, it's been a while since the three of us were together here.
It has. Yeah, everyone's been moving around. Summer's getting close to the end, school starting, and FedEx Cup alive and well.
So back in episode two, which has been one of our most listened to podcasts, we talked about the myth of straight back and straight through versus arc putting stroke. And I think as the three of us spend a lot of time on tour with all the tours, really, and around the world in our global fitting studios, we're pretty much, I'd say, on the leading edge of at least understanding what the trends are out there, what people are talking about, and what have you. So we've wanted to get back to this one for a while, but sort of the second big myth that kind of goes hand in hand with straight back and straight through versus arc is the myth of, should I forward press or not forward press, and should I use a straight shaft putter or an offset shaft putter with a double bend or a plumber's neck? So guys, let's just have a fun discussion today about what we know, what we've heard, what we think people think, and we'll try and boil it down from there. Cody, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I think, you know, the straight back and straight through, you know, and versus an arc, it's, you know, it's commonly, you know, seen in articles and talked about, but, you know, we know through testing that, you know, everybody, if they putt on a plane, really putts on some type of arc. Some have less arc, some have more, but there's always a degree of arc or rotation in a putting stroke since we stand to the side of the golf ball. But I think another one of those things is, should we forward press or how should we set up to the golf ball in the starting position? And, you know, I think over time, if you really look at history, you're starting to see more and more golfers set up with a shaft more vertical. And I think that's due to the style of putting, the greens, a little culmination of that. But you're starting to see more and more players start with a shaft straight up and down. And I think people have, in the last, from a teaching standpoint, in the last 5 years or so, I think people have used the forward press as more of a band-aid fix to some of their putting strokes, when in reality, there's probably a bigger root cause. So I think we can dive into some of that. I think that's a great discussion, because I think, you know, not only at the tour level, but I think you're seeing more and more players, you know, starting the shaft more vertical because they're trying to start it and return it back to the same position. And it's given them a better opportunity to hit more putts online and maybe have better speed control doing that.
No question about that. Ted, what are some of the reasons maybe out there, you, as a former head golf professional at a golf club that's got beautiful greens at the Legends Club out there? I mean, what's changed in terms of some of the trends out there that maybe have made it probably more likely that trends in putting should change to adapt to the way that greens are?
Well, I think there was a time there, you know, long time ago, or back in the 80s, 70s, where the greens agronomy wasn't as good as it is now. And the greens, even a lot of muni courses all the way up to public courses to private clubs, the greens are much better. That's why people come and play golf. I mean, you could have a, you know, a rough fairway, maybe a little bit dried out fairway, but if the greens are good, players are going to come play on those greens. And so what you find is that, okay, if the greens are great, I want to see how good my putting is. Along those lines, the number, you see 90% of the people out there right now using offset putters, because I think that's what you see on TV. You know, head pro over here at the golf course, that's all they, at the time, that's all we carried was offset putters, because that's what we were sold. Not many companies had center shaft putters. If they did, that was just sort of, an offshoot of a, you know, vanilla chocolate ice cream. And then you had the one type of flavor that maybe 2% of the people like to have. Well, you got to have that. Now, like Cody says, it's starting to change back a little bit, where that, you know, center shaft, straight shaft putter comes into play a whole lot more, because one, I think because of us, Seymour Putter Company, is bringing it to the forefront. I think we're the leaders in center shaft, straight shaft putters, especially with putting instruction. That is getting the story out, and here's the reason why. You know, it was a long, long time ago where when golf first started, they had center shaft golf clubs and center shaft putters. But then when the grass started to be real high, then they had to, you know, forward press just a little bit to get the ball up out of the grass to let it roll into the cup. So, I mean, I think you see now more of a trend. It's starting to come back more because people are much more aware of putting instruction and a lot more information out there than before.
So, Cody, you mentioned that you thought, you know, the forward press in the days of, you know, were literally greens and fringe back then, and we're talking even 30, 40 years ago, looked more like some fairways today, that to move the ball along, it really was almost a chipping motion.
No question. And it's, you know, the agronomy's changed and the style's gone with it. And for some people, that stayed the same, you know. And I think the best sort of look at it, if you're out there and you want a really close look in this, is go put on like a shaggy carpet and take, you know, a long sort of, you know, a very long putting stroke, slower putting stroke, and see how hard it is to judge the distance. So I think that golfers sort of understood that when greens were so hairy that it took that sort of pop putting stroke and sort of a, you know, dragging the handle through with more loft to get the ball launched properly so that they could get it up there. You know, if you're, you remember the greens that we all, you know, the municipal greens we grew, you know, played on growing up that were 6-7, you know, maybe an 8 on a stint, but they all set on a turtleback. If you had an uphill putt, you almost had to take a short poppy stroke in order just to get it, you know, the right distance. And now with green speeds changing so much, it's harder, you know, you really rely more on a feel now in terms of your, you tap into your senses more, you know, and I got to really be careful to judge it properly. So that style is changing. So, you know, you've seen the stroke sort of smooth out over time more, you know, people call it a pendulum or whatever they want, but it's more fluid throughout the putting stroke instead of a sharp action through that.
I think a good example is think of playing croquet as a kid. Croquet in your front yard, well, you really got it. I mean, your mom and dad had high grass for the most part. You had to get down on it to get that ball up through the, you know, through the wickets now. But if you go to Pinehurst and you drive up, they have a nice croquet field where it's some very similar to a putting green. And so it's a lot easier for them to play croquet because the grass is much smoother. Where in our front yards, I mean, you really had to hit it hard, pop down on it to get it up in the
air.
And
I don't know if they took as much time determining loft back then. I don't know, Jim, you may be able to answer this, but if a putter was set, let's say at 7 or 8 degrees, and they were, you know, and the greens were still rolling, let's say 7 or 8, they may have had to forward press in order to get the ball, you know, popped up and rolling probably, you know, we know it sits in a little indention. So, you know, what was the right loft then? And, you know, what trajectory? So, you know, I don't know. That could have been, you know, a combination of having, you know, having that style of putting stroke in order to, you know, to really get the ball up and rolling the way they needed to. And now, you know, you've seen, you know, lofts go from 6-7 to, you know, 5-4-3. You know, we're at 2.5 now, and green speeds are, you know, 10-11 on tour. They're 12-13, and you know that gets the ball rolling, and it's all achieving the same goal, is to get the ball launching the right way and rolling as quick as you can.
Rolling as quick as you can is the key there, and that's only something that you'll want to do if the roll is predictable.
Right.
You know, I'm the oldest guy here by far, and when I grew up playing, I mean, there was a shot that I would say was probably one of the most used shots that I've never seen anybody use anymore, and that was using the 7-iron, okay, from the fringe. And the reason you do it is because it was a 30 or a 40-foot putt, and quite frankly, you didn't trust the green. So you wanted to use that 7-iron to get the ball halfway to the hole, so you only had a limited amount of time that the sort of imperfections of the green could grab that ball, right? If you went out and stuck a flag stick in the middle of a fairway right now and said, hey, we've got temporary today, you're not using the green, you got to get it close to that hole, you'd probably go back and use a 7-iron. You'd forward press it a little bit, you'd drag it, and you try and get it up there close, right? But now what we're saying is that so many things have changed, but the one thing that hasn't changed is the industry hasn't properly adapted back to putters that now are better suited to the conditions of today. So we're here to make the case today for straight shaft putters, okay, because they eliminate variables. It's not to say that we don't have offset shaft, because we do. At Seymour, we do believe that we want to meet the needs of all golfers. Many golfers have grown up now. For years and years and years, their only option's been offset. I mean, if you go into any golf shop, still you're going to find 95% of the putters are going to be offset shaft. And we're saying that's just because that's all the industry keeps delivering to these shops. It's not necessarily because that's what's right for golfers. You can see a higher percentage of straight shaft putters on tour than you'll find in most golf shops. But again, the big companies that we're competing against, they want to limit their SKUs. It's just a self-perpetuating myth.
Easy sell.
That's what they just keep shipping out there. So, you know, I know of a couple of major players this year that were using their company's version of a straight shaft putter that weren't even available in the golf shop. So, again, we're not saying that everybody needs to immediately run to a straight shaft putter, but we're going to tell you a little bit about what we know about why it makes sense for so many golfers and why they should give it a shot. And we'll go from there. So Cody, again, given today's conditions out there, and I played at a municipal golf course yesterday that had some of the nicest greens I've ever seen, and that tends to be what you find these days. Because, Ted, you said what? You're never going to hear about it if you've got a few rough patches in the fairway, but if your greens aren't good, your members are going to let you know about it.
Well, not only are your members going to let you know about it, but then you're going to go back and tell your friends that you don't need to go there because the greens are bad.
The greens
go
are bad.
Someplace. Oh, yeah. I heard this club's got good greens, or this place has good greens. Well, let's go play there. You know, I think also we see a lot of guys, all range of golfers that come here in the studio, and, you know, a majority of them do have an offset type putter.
It's all they were ever
exactly. That's all they offered. Were either taught, offered.
Yeah.
you know, maybe their home course instructor didn't do a whole lot with putting, but they came to us because they needed help with putting. You know, I've said it before on here, they could shoot 68, 69, 70, but because the putters let them down, they're still shooting 74, 75, 76. So once we get them, and they bring their offset putter to us, once they see the benefits of a straight shaft putter, the consistency it brings, you know, they can tell the difference between not only the putting stroke and how it feels, but also the ball starts going in a little bit more consistent. Then you talk to them, well, how many of the offset putters do you have? You know, 7, 8. Okay, well, how many straight shaft putters? Well, I've never had one before, don't know how to use it per se. I need to start using it. So, you know, it's an easy change, we believe, just by hiding that red dot and seeing the two white lines. And I think you probably see players out there on tour. You know, there's cases out there of guys that had an offset putter, then all of a sudden they get taught what a straight shaft is, and boom, next thing you know, they got a pretty good long career.
And we hear it from just our regular great customer friends that tell us every single day that once they made that switch to a Seymour putter with a straight shaft, truly that part of the game has become easier, has become a lot more fun, and their putts per round, I guess if there was a strokes gained putting, a statistic for everyday golfers, it goes down because we've just taken away so many of the variables that get in the way of great putting. Is that what you found, Cody?
Well, and I think a couple points here. I think one of them is I don't think most golfers really understand why they're using the putter that they are.
That's a good point.
You know, why are they using that putter? And if you ask them, why are you using that? Usually the only thing that they give you back is that they like the look of it. Don't get me wrong, that's very important. The look of it, you know, breeds confidence, which we all want confidence when we stand over the golf ball. But is it helping you, you know, get in the setup? And that's my second point is, you know, what are keys to great putting outside of green reading? Well, it's consistent setup. You know, consistent aim and being able to start the ball on the right line with the correct speed. So those are four really key points. So is that putter helping you do that? And I think that goes back to like straight shaft, you know, near center shaft putters, helping people understand what the dynamic benefit of those are and the ability, you know, we play, it's sort of like taking a hammer and offsetting it and trying to hit the nail on the head. Be pretty difficult, right? If your handle's over here and the head's in another position to hit that. So, you know, baseball, pull, you're playing with a straight, you know, basically a straight shaft. So our goal is to be able to set the putter down properly, the shaft in the same position, which one, if the shaft's straight up and down neutral, usually that putter face is going to be perfectly square unless altered, right? So two is that we're trying to return it back to the same position. So why start in one position and try to return it back to another? Three is we're trying to hit it in the same spot every time. So starting at the same position allows us to get, it gives us a better opportunity to be able to do that, which is going to help us judge our tempo. It's going to help us judge our speed control. So to me, and that's not even talking about the actual, you know, benefit of why the putter is designed like that. You know, you put the shaft in the middle, it doesn't require, you know, a lot of effort to help get the putter back to square. There's less opposing forces, let's say, to do that. So I think helping people understand there is a lot of benefits. And if you haven't tried one, shoot, we still make offset putters, so we're not discounting,
sure,
right?
Exactly.
But we're saying
exactly.
There may be something out there that enhances what you're already doing or may help you become better through adjusting a little bit to this type of setup and putter design.
And two major variables that you talked about are obviously the straight shaft eliminates the variable of having the offset, which you have two lines that have to come into in sort of parallel. And the second one is the concept of actually having the shaft vertical to start and then vertically return. And I think this is something that actually on tour happened about 5 years ago. I think the myth of the forward press, in my opinion, died when the belly putter came along. Because the belly putter actually was something that, of course, the USGA eventually came in and said, hey, that's too easy. That should be outlawed. That should be overruled. You know, I have my thoughts on that. To me, I think if it was increasing the enjoyment of the game, I think a lot of players did lose a great benefit. But if you think about what the belly putter did, is it showed everybody that when you stuck the end of the handle straight into your sternum or your just above the belly, okay, and you let the putter swing, we talked about this straight back and straight through versus arc. The belly putter showed what the natural arc should be, but it also showed that the most natural position was it for it to hang vertically and then just return to vertical, right? And so ever since that happened, even once it was outlawed by the USGA for competitive play on tour, it feels to me like 90% of the tour players took that with them and went more towards a straight vertical setup, which again, once you're there, bring on the straight shaft putter. And that's all we're saying here is that have an open mind to it. Just because you don't see them, it's a myth. And Seymour, we have plenty of them. You're not going to find many more than that, but it's a great way to putt.
No question. And I think it's a great point that you bring up, because the belly putter, the broomstick putter that you're seeing that's non-anchor, you know, that a guy's, you know, Adam Scott's not anchoring it now, which he's tried a lot of different things, including us,
yeah.
You know, and putted really well and still, using the concept of practice. But, you know, one of the things is they're using a consistent suspension point, is what we would call it from an instructor standpoint, right? Is that it's the putter's essentially revolving around sort of one fixed position around the sternum. So as you set up, you're returning, you know, you take your backstroke, the butt of the grip's essentially pointed back around that sternum area or wherever that suspension point is, back to impact and follow through. And you see a lot of great putters. Tiger, in his best days, that's one of the things he talked about, is having that consistent suspension point where the handle's not really translating anymore. It's starting neutral or thereabouts and then returning back there. And that's, you know, that we're talking about either having checkpoints or eliminating variables. And that's an easy way to do it. Set a putter up vertical against a wall, 90 degrees, and you can use the wall as sort of an example of somebody's setup, right? And then take the handle and slide it down that wall, but keep the face where it is. You'll see it start to affect how the face reacts, right? The loft, the face angle.
Changes everything.
It does. And it changes your perception of how it is. So that's why people say what's real and what you feel in golf are different. Well, what you see and what's, you know, actually real sometimes are different. Hey, I think I'm aimed here and that feels square, but in reality you're 3 degrees off. Well, it's likely something in what we're talking about in that setup. So that's why I think, you know, some of those straight near center shaft putters can really, you know, influence and enhance what you're doing in your setup and help you putt better.
And the reality is that, I mean, the average club level player, I mean, whether they're an 18 handicap, a 25 handicap, or a 2 handicap, still doesn't practice the hundreds of hours a month that a tour player practices. And so I would contend, having gone through many fittings and watched many players, is that the adaptation from a forward press and from an offset putter back to a straight shaft Seymour is a lot easier than you might think. I mean, so, you know, oh, hey, I've never putted that way. You know, that's foreign to me. I mean, you see how quickly somebody adapts to something that, from a common sense perspective, makes, you know, it bears itself out.
Well, I think now with technology out there, that's it, right? You don't have to guess. You can see it. You know, we've got, you know, technology, Sam Putt Lab, CapToe, and, you know, other devices that we can put on and say, okay, well, you're struggling. Here's the reasons why, and here's how we're going to fix it. And a lot of times that helps them, you know, with the technology and that shaft placement and everything, helps them be able to aim the putter better and know that it's set down square. And then if they're going to set it down the same way, it's like shooting free throws. You start doing it a few times, and it's a whole lot easier to start to return it back to that same position.
Yeah, and I think it's the consistency is the key. You know, Cody always uses the example, yeah, I can put you in a lady shaft driver if you're a top amateur college boy player, male player. It's going to take you, can you get used to hitting it? Sure, but it's going to take you a long time to get comfortable with it, and can you be consistent with it? But I believe that what we see here is the consistency and the ease of getting to that place quickly and continue to do it over and over again. brings a sheer joy to someone putting who's had problems in the past. Wow, I didn't have to make that big of a change to start putting better. And oh, by the way, I can do it day in and day out. But I do know when I do make a bad putt, heck, I know what I've done wrong now because I've hit so many putts good over and over and over again. So the consistency of just changing just a hair, you know, we see that day in and day out when people come and see us.
And of course, you know, the thing we haven't even mentioned is that with Seymour, not only do you get the simplicity of a straight shaft and being able to have a vertical, vertical shaft and no offset, you also get the red dot that you hide, right? So you have even a final indicator that just proves back to you, hey, you're set up the same way every time. And we've seen players like Russell Knox, you know, came to you when he was on the Nationwide Tour, now the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, was struggling with his putting, great, great ball striker. Told you, you know, he just wanted to putt more consistently. He put the Seymour in play. He won on tour. He got his PGA Tour card. He won on the PGA Tour. Zach
Ernie
Johnson,
Els.
Payne Stewart, Ernie Els. The story of Ernie Els. I mean, they're one of the great players of all time, one of the great putters of all time. And here's a perfect example. I think Ernie Els, with his touch and his ability to master the game at various points in time, has always been one of the best putters out there. And he's putted with every different type of style, including the belly style. And it might have been his win at the British Open using a belly putter that ultimately led the USGA and the RNA to ban the belly putting. But after that, Ernie went back to a non-anchored, non-belly putter and struggled mightily. And then all of a sudden found a Seymour putter, put it in play, and over 15 months was second on tour in putting and had the greatest putting weekend I believe ever recorded at Hilton Head. The week after his six putt at Augusta, he had 9.8 strokes gained putting that weekend at Harbortown. I can't find any statistics that show that any tour player's ever had a better two-day stretch on the weekend than gaining almost 10 strokes versus the rest of the crowd. And he then came back to us for the next 15 months and just talked about how much sense it made and how simple it was. Now, again, he's Ernie Els. He's won tournaments around the world with a lot of different types of putters and at various types of times has pulled those back out. But what a great testimonial to have one of the great players of all time acknowledge that, yeah, this really helped me when I was struggling and it made so much sense.
Yeah, and it just brought that confidence back to him. You know, I believe he even told us it resurrected his career of giving him a good feeling when he walked up onto the green instead of, oh my gosh, here I go again.
Right.
You know, he had done it before. He's seen it before. The simplicity of the red dot and the white lines. You know, I can't hammer home enough how simple that is to bringing you in a consistent setup, bringing you in a consistent ball position, knowing what a good putt feels like. I think he learned that, and once you feel that, man, it's hard to get away from it.
I mean, Brant Jobe's another example. I mean, I don't know for any of our listeners that you know that follow the Champions Tour. He played nearly 400 events on the PGA Tour without a win, and you know, he switched to the Seymour putter. He said, you know, where has this been all my life? He won for the first time, and he really had regular top five finishes in major championships, and continues to, you know, feel like it just gives him an opportunity each and every week that he never used to have. Because I think with putting, guys tend to focus on what's gone wrong, okay, and it eats away at you and it builds. And I think with simplicity and by taking variables away, again, all we want to do is free up the golfer's mind to be able to focus on the line and the speed of that putt and not have to worry about all the simple stuff like, am I even set up correctly?
Yeah, and I think that's what we're saying here, right, is just to be open to the putter design and, you know, being able to try something that you may not have tried before to, you know, because not just picking up something that, you know, hey, here's what looks the best and whatever it is. I mean, like you said, we make offset options and great ones, and they're still going to be able to, you still have the alignment technology, but there's a lot of really cool benefits to, you know, straight shaft. And there's a lot of players you see that can switch to it, and you'll be able to switch to it a lot quicker than you think you would and adapt to it and see results quickly. And that's what's cool about it, is being able to do that. And, you know, like any golfer out there, you're trying to just be able to be consistent and try to have, you know, make your misses you know, better, right? And that's what it's about.
I'd like to say this to our listeners. Think of, you know, the next time you're watching golf on TV, sort of look at when someone's putting, you know, the tour players, and look at their ball position, look at their shaft position, you know, see how many people are actually doing a forward press, and oh my gosh, these guys are pretty good, because they're what Cody and Jim and I are talking about. Now they're, you know, sort of straight up and down, and just see the difference. That's sort of what we look at on a daily basis when we're watching, you know, golf on TV.
And I mean, there's really no simple way to talk about this, but the reality is when you're watching golf on TV at the highest levels is that a lot of players are probably using something that has been strongly suggested to them that might be a great product for them to use based on a major sponsorship. And I'm not saying every player does that. I'm not saying that in the end of the day they don't want like crazy to be the best they can be, but they're also they're great, loyal people. And so when they have relationships sometimes with big manufacturing companies that are contributing greatly to their career at that point in time, I mean, that's always the concern is that do they end up somehow maybe favoring a product that just or not looking at a product that maybe could help them more. So, you know, I think the good thing about most of our listeners is they don't have to worry about those issues because they're not under contract. And so go out and find a Seymour putter. Find somebody that uses one. Talk to somebody that uses one. Talk
to
us.
Ask them why they use it.
Ask them why they use it, because the testimonials we learn about every single day are just incredible, really. And our greatest wish is that somehow Seymour Nation can just kind of help us keep spreading the word out there and help people putt better. When they do putt better, they enjoy the game more. It's a lot more fun. Nobody wants to watch somebody struggle on the greens consistently and regularly. And, you know, we're here to help.
We're not just a company where we want you to just buy a putter and you walk out the door and never hear from you again. We want to be, you know, if when you hear from us, this is the first time you hear from us. It's not going to be the last time. So if you do have a problem, send us a note. We have a you know, global team of SPI instructors and fitters that are out there that are willing and wanting to help you improve your putting. So if you're at that place where you need help with your putting, go online to Seymour.com and look at our fitting team out there and find someone who is willing and wanting to help you, give you good, solid instruction and fitting.
Well, and I think that's a great point, because that's, you know, as much as we put into product design and product and that can really help you putt better, we put it into putting instruction and putter fitting and really try to, you know, encompass this whole thing and really not only just be able to offer you a great putter, be able to offer you, you know, a lifetime of instruction and making sure you have the right product, you know, specifications that may meet your needs and instruction that goes along with that.
No question about it. We're a worldwide brand. We're an insider's brand. A lot of PGA Tour caddies and people that have seen players at their highest levels perform best with Seymour know about us, but a lot don't. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see you in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where we're based. We relocated here back in 2006, and it's amazing. The rest of the world seems to have followed us to Nashville. So if Nashville's on your bucket list of cities to come visit, let us know. We can set you up with a tour studio visit here, and you can really really have some fun and probably spend a lot more time and energy on getting fit for a putter and having a putting lesson at the tour level than you've ever had, and people love that. So all available to you. Our time is up already, and we'll have more of these.
Went fast. That was a great discussion. Appreciate it. Good job.
Yeah, the Seymour Tour team talking about more myths, straight shaft versus offset shaft and forward press versus no forward press, and, you know, why aren't there more straight shaft putters out there? I mean, I never can find them. I didn't even know that it was something I should be looking at. So hopefully that's your takeaway today, and we will talk to you next time. This is been episode 13 of the Putting Couch, brought to you by the Seymour Putter Company's tour team. And until next time, great golfing.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.